Mueller did a horrible job, both today and with respect to the investigation. But in all fairness to Robert Mueller, he had nothing to work with.
Didn't have material, didn't have anything to work with. Kind of sound like Simon Cowell moment for the president yesterday, as he's been on a tweet storm this morning as well about the Mueller testimony yesterday. I tell you, there was nothing new. Nothing new. It was, obviously, we knew going into it, no shock here, that it was a time for Democrats to be on the record, get that video to put in a campaign ad, time for Republicans in Congress to show the constituency that they were fighting for the president. Those things were, I mean, it was a bit of a kabuki theater because we already have, you know, the information is out there, but I think Democrats wanted to maybe dramatize it, and that went badly for them. They wanted to have, you know, Robert Mueller read what was in the report to be able to, because they figure, I guess, people are not going to read, so having him say it, first having a Democrat say it, and then ask, some of the Democrats wouldn't even give him a chance to do that. They would say, and say, did you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Of course he did. It's right there. You're reading it from the report. But the idea to have him dramatize it, maybe to kickstart some kind of impeachment proceedings, or at least some, keep that machine going, but I think it fell flat yesterday.
Yeah, and a big part of that is that it seemed like Robert Mueller wasn't quite ready to testify in front of the committees, because they would ask him about things that he supposedly wrote in the Mueller report that has his name right there in the report, and a lot of times he couldn't even remember some of the things that were written in there.
What is it? One of the memes going around here, Mark sent us this morning on the text line at 343-0106. It has a picture of Robert Mueller looking through pages of the report, and it's framed by, when your mom writes your book report and you're asked questions about it in class. He kind of had that moment.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, the Democrats, they wanted the sound bites. They wanted Mueller to come out and say outright that he believes the president committed a crime with collusion, or, you know, they wanted him to say something damning about President Trump. And time again, he just referred them back to the report. He said, we wrote it all out there. We didn't come to a conclusion. We left that up to you. But the Republicans on the other side, they were trying to dig a little further into why this investigation began in the first place. And thinking back to the Steele dossier and what was going on in the FBI headquarters as all this began. And also, they ran into a brick wall with Mueller. Mueller said that was outside of his purview when he was asked those questions.
I'll tell you what, I did learn some new things yesterday, a couple things. Some of them that were remembered by Robert Mueller, some that weren't, but all are meritorious for sure. I knew he was a Marine, sort of Vietnam, Bronze Star, Purple Heart. You know, so no matter politically where y'all are, pay the due respect to this man, Marine veteran, Vietnam, Bronze Star, Purple Heart. His service to the country has been lengthy, and even he forgot what president had appointed. It was Reagan, and he thought it might have been Bush or something. But the man has a tenured history with the country, and therefore I think deserves some modicum of respect. Now, you can go through the political back and forth. Listen, I don't think anything more came of it. I don't think anything's going to... I said back when the report came out, I said, well, all right, time to move on. Except if you're a partisan very far on one side, here on the anti-Trump side, it seems like red meat. But I don't know that it moves the needle. I think the American voting public so galvanized at this point, something like this is not the kind of thing that's going to change opinion out there. But I did want to take a second and talk about the, you know, that Mueller, wherever you are politically, I've seen some real nasty things out there. And you could absolutely disagree and say this is a witch hunt, whatever, but the man has shown himself to be a patriot as well. So I'm going to, you know, I know that's not popular in the world of character assassination out there for political gain, but oh well, I'm not worried about popularity.
And, you know, another thing that Mueller said yesterday is that, and he said it, he said that he doesn't really look at the political affiliations of the people that he's investigating. He said it's about whether you're fit to do the job that you were hired to do or elected to do, which is kind of interesting because whether it's true or not is one thing, but that's what you want out of a prosecutor. You want them to look at whatever case they are working on and not look at it through some lens one way or the other, but just to try to figure out if someone broke the law or not. But he didn't really, and a lot of people are saying it's because of the time that he spent in the FBI, that he seems very reluctant to throw the FBI under the bus or even question any of their decisions.
Does that surprise you, though?
No.
Yeah, it shouldn't. once again, and listen, the politics of people in the FBI have been shown through things that have come out. You could look through Strzok and Page and mm-hmm. on down and look at what's come out. But I think, by and large, the members of the FBI, the agents with the FBI, are doing exactly what Mueller said. They're law enforcement. They're keeping their politics. I think a lot of people are self-aware, I hope, to go, do you question yourself, am I making this decision because of political belief or what? But there's definitely examples of it moving out of being your private life into your job mm-hmm. in the FBI. But I don't know that it's widespread. You know, there's no way to know unless you took every agent. And so when you start saying, well, they're all that way, that's not fair either. When you say, oh, the whole FBI, when I hear people say the whole or all of them, mm-hmm. I go, really? You know everybody there? But no, are there concrete examples of it? Sure. Sure there are. And they've been shown. And I would say that the fact that Robert Mueller is defensive of the FBI, wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be if you worked in a department that long? I'm not saying there's no excuse for not telling the truth, pushing an investigation one way or another. But if it's just on the individual agents and their work or the people that worked on your team, I want to hear somebody, unless it's egregious, but if it's just regular rank and file people, I want the director, I want the top of whatever that is to be somewhat defensive of them. I mean, you kind of should be, unless there's a big reason not to be.
But I mean, but do you want that person in charge of an investigation like this if they're covering for anybody, no matter who it is?
And covering is one thing. Covering you shouldn't do, but saying, you know, that, hey, they're good people, you know, when he would say there's good people here, mm-hmm. good people are working on this. I would expect that. To me, the outlier, the different thing would be the person who says, nah, they're all a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
I mean, do you expect that? I mean, that's one, just going back to human nature, whether you like it politically or not. There's not a lot of here. There's not a lot of, nothing changed yesterday. Mm-hmm. So we're back into the character discussion. And there's parts of, believe me, there's parts of Mueller, things left unsaid and all that, that bother me, what he's doing with it. But at the same time, I want to point out that you would expect somebody from a department to defend that.
Yeah, you would expect that. But also, you know, Democrats and Republicans alike should have expected what came out of those hearings yesterday, because Mueller said time and time again he didn't want to do that. He said that the Mueller report should speak for everything he has to say, and that's why he kept referring back to the report when he was asked to go over some things. But, you know, he didn't want to be there yesterday, and he looked like a guy who's just tired of the entire political circus going on around him.
All right, we'll go to the phones, and let's go to John in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I listened to some of it. I didn't get to see. I saw some highlights last night. Three words came to mind when I watched Mr. Mueller, and I've said this before, like when that time after the report came out, when he got kind of surprised by that reporter when he and his wife were trying to get in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Those three words are early onset dementia. I saw the 1,000-yard stare. I just think that's part of the problem. And Bob Barr, Attorney General Barr, as a friend, I think was trying to shield him, because, as you rightly pointed out, his service to the country, volunteering during Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
Purple Heart, all that. I hope that's not the last memory people have of Mr. Mueller. But another thing that was brought out this morning, Andy McCarthy said, there's no way that you can look at what happened yesterday and say Bob Mueller was anything but a figurehead in this investigation.
Right. Is it? And that's great.
Weissman ran this thing, and for him not to even know what's in the report, his report shows how disconnected he was.
Yeah, well, John, that's an interesting question, though. I mean, can it be both? Can it be this the discussion of does he have, you know, something going on mentally, or is it the fact that he was disconnected and just a figurehead? It's got to be one or the other, right?
Well, I mean, no, I think it can be both. But, I mean, he didn't pick any of the staff. Weissman did. And we all know how bad a track record Weissman's got. Anytime you have to go in front of the Supreme Court and you get shot down 9-0, you got a problem.
I think that's a fair statement. Now that is a fair statement. Yeah, because if you can't find one of the justices to agree with you,
here's the thing that blows my mind. Somebody as partisan and as corrupt as Weissman running that investigation 2.5 years and found nothing on Trump. Nothing. Who'd have thunk it?
There you go. Maybe it's you would think that that would be seen as a feather in the cap for the president more than a detriment, right? Appreciate the call. Grab some more when we get back at 343-0106. Friday 22, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here. Our buddy Rob Holbert from Land Yaps on the way. By the way, nappy issue came out, the Nappy Awards. Thank you so very, very much. Now 4 years in a row, your favorite morning show. We could not do it without y'all. I mean, like every day of the year and when you go vote in the Nappy. So thank you very, very much. It means a lot to us. And on the nomination process, so many of our shows getting mentioned, which meant a lot to me. It's one of the, no, not one of, it's the thing I'm proudest of here. It's, you know, we're 10 years old now. We're 10. 10-year anniversary for FM Talk 106.5, starting back in May. And I'm very proud of the number of different voices on this station. The fact that we do, you know, we talk about the hours, 40-some-odd hours a week.
Easily.
Of live local programming. Yeah, that's actually kind of, with some new additions, that's, you know, I mean, with Personal Wedge Fitness and the Sweet Home Canabama show, and that pushed us, so, well over 40 hours a week of live local programming. That's the thing that I'm proudest of here, and I love it when I see those names get nominated. Maybe 1 year we'll win. Maybe 1 year Lanyap will have actual categories that work for, they don't, you know, people don't understand a station like this is a locally owned, does a bunch of different kind of shows and different, you know, subject matters, but I'm proud to see those shows nominated. I mean, we're live every day of the week. We got local folks talking about local subjects every day of the week here. That is not an easy lift. It's a heavy lift in radio. Believe me, I've worked in different formats over the years. There's all of them are easier to do than this, but this is what we need here. And so I'm proud of all the different voices on the station that make it happen. And when y'all notice it, so thank you. Thank you very much.
I mean, where else are you going to get a local golf show on Sunday morning and then Tuesday nights, a show about buying gold and silver and collecting awesome things for Mobile Bay coins. So just so many different programs, but the one thing most have in common, all local, and local people broadcasting these local programs. So very happy for the team to have so many nominations, but also very happy for the Mobile Mornings team. 4 years in a row.
That's right.
I'll have to go back and check. I think it might be like 6 out of the last 7 years or 6 out of the last 8 that we've won that award. So proud to bring it home again.
Thanks, y'all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, 824 FM Talk 106.5. I wonder if we get a second before Rob comes on, I do want to talk about, we'll talk bison for a second, but I want to stick with Mueller for a second. Baldwin 5 on the text line says, I believe Mueller was playing both sides, Republicans and Democrats, to get himself off the hook with as little blame as possible, playing the game using Hillary's I can't recall technique. His please repeat the question plus slow roll techniques ate up a lot of the questioner's time. I think this act was planned from the beginning. So he thinks he was crazy like a fox, maybe.
And you know who else took up a lot of the questioner's time? The questioners. Because they did that thing like they always do. You give them 5 minutes, and they're going to talk for 4.5 of those 5 minutes and let whoever they're questioning, in this case Mueller, have the last 30 seconds. And then they're just going to completely do away with whatever that answer is. We saw a lot of that yesterday. We were also talking about the Democrats who want to impeach Trump, and we're hoping to get a little bit more ammunition from this yesterday. David said he believes that the Republicans miscalculated politically. They should have let Al Green's impeachment vote through. They should have went ahead and voted through the impeachment to just show, I guess, how crazy the Democrats are for trying to impeach the president. And then Ben says the Steele dossier was used as the basis for the investigation. It's unacceptable that Mueller's response was what it was. He was clueless yesterday, did not feel bad for him at all.
And how about you? You hit us up on the text line or the phone line, 343-0106. And Where were you seeing those comments about the? You've seen the video now, right? Of the Dalton was the first person I saw that you put it up earlier this week. Now it's on TV. Now everybody's talking about it. A bison in Yellowstone flipping a little girl. She's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's I'm sure busted up a little bit, but she's fine. I mean, he gave her a full like. There's bulls in pro rodeo that go, dang, look at his technique.
Good technique, yeah. When you know the bull riding game, they'll do usually, I guess, at rodeos or these bull riding events where they'll have the last man standing events,
yes.
And they'll have people sitting down, I guess, playing poker,
mm-hmm.
And then the bull gets let mm-hmm. out, and whoever's the last one sitting there wins. But usually, you'll see somebody fly through the air mm-hmm. when they refuse to leave, and the bull actually gets a hold of them. I mean, this little girl did like at least a flip and a half in the air. And it looks like landed on her back. They are saying she's okay, but this happened out in Yellowstone.
And if you go look at the stats, this happens yearly mm-hmm. in Yellowstone because people for some reason think, oh, it's a herbivore. It's not going to hurt me. God created them, created bison as big creatures that keep themselves alive in a situation where wolves and grizzlies and others would like to eat them. They've learned to stay alive.
Yeah.
They're still, even though we wholesale slaughtered them, they still are alive.
Just look at the muscles. Why would you get that close to something that's wild? I understand if you have like a pet bison that you've known for 15 years.
Yeah, they're still okay.
Because they have the bulls that you could put kids on top
that's
of
right.
and take pictures. Just
yes.
old ones that hardly move around at all. But we're talking wild bison mm-hmm. in Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
And these people with their children getting mm-hmm. so close that the bison takes a run at them. And then in this video, you see, I'm guessing, who this girl's parents
going one way
completely take off and leave her in the dust.
You know, if anybody takes a lick for the parent is supposed to take the lick is
yeah.
how the system goes. I remember, like I said, in the 6 o'clock hour, I remember my first trip to Yellowstone back in the 80s, little kid, and my mother hollering at dad who was out with the camera taking a picture of a bison getting too close, and she's leaned out of the Jamboree RV going, get back here! And because, I mean, it can happen really fast. People think about the grizzlies there, and sure, there are issues, but the bison, people just don't give them account. Think about this, though. At the same time, now you've seen that video, you see the gigantic bull bison.
Mm-hmm.
Think about Native Americans. Think about Plains Indians that would, on horseback, before using guns, with spear and bow, shoot those, ride alongside, and shoot them, put enough arrows in them to bleed them out and eventually get them. Nice thing is about the prairie, you can follow them until they fall over. Or the system that was the, what I call the, so there was, like, convenience store buffalo hunting,
mm-hmm.
right? Bison hunting. Convenience store was finding a herd and killing one and then using all the stuff and eating it and following the herd and going and getting another one. Then there's what I call the Sam's Club or Costco method.
Buying
that they
in
would
bulk.
Do. Yes, the buying in bulk, where you would find a precipice somewhere along the prairie. There's one I know that's seen it 10 times in my life called the Palisades there along the Madison River in Montana. And it's prairie, prairie, prairie. And then it's this straight down bluff leading down to the river valley along the Madison River. And they would drive the buffalo, drive the bison towards that. You know, obviously you get them in a terror run.
Yeah.
And then they go over the edge, and then you're going into mop-up. So I call it, I know it probably doesn't fit with the textbooks, and that's probably not the proper definition of how Plains Indians, how they acquired, but one of them is convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
You need one, you kill one, you use the, everybody eats, and then you go along with the herd, you travel, you move, you kill another one. And then there's the Costco method, where you just drive them over a bluff, and then you got your work cut out for you. Then you're like, hey, kids, you need to help mom with the groceries. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to come out here.
Bison in bulk. And that's what people don't understand. I don't think any of them know the history of some of these animals. They think they're just these docile, furry creatures that are, I guess, maybe they think at Yellowstone they put them in cages at night so they can sleep. I don't know why they're
so. That's the beauty of going to our national parks and seeing critters being critters and doing their thing. It's not a zoo. That's what makes it so good.
But this little girl, very lucky that she got tossed and not trampled. That would have been much worse.
That is for sure. And yeah, so, several people have texted in this morning about the meat. Oh, yes. I've had straight buffalo. I've had beefalo, which is the mix there. I like them both. Yeah, good stuff. All right, 8:30. Rob Hulbert joins us next.
Thanks, Kane. 8:36 here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, Mitch, we talk often about the new model trucks, SUVs, and cars you have on the lot there at McConnell. But today, I want to talk pre-owned vehicles. You guys have something for everyone.
Yeah, you know, Dalton, I think the hardest thing for customers that are out there listening to do is to make a good, smart decision on a pre-owned car. So what we really are proud of, Dalton, is how I think we make it really easy. And the main thing is with used cars is trust and price. And so if you go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, we've got a lot of things going. One of them is pre-owned certified cars, so GM certified. We're really proud of that selection. But the other part, Dalton, is just any kind of used car, when you buy it, you need to be sure you're buying it from a dealer you can trust. And I know at least there's many of them in town that you can, and we're one of those. And my favorite thing that I like to do is try to save people money. So instead of buying a new car, a lot of times, Dalton, a pre-owned car is the best selection. I really invite people to check our cars out, and they're some of the nicest, cleanest, and we like to joke this, but we have a special process for making them smell great. So some of the best-smelling pre-owned cars. And all those selections are on our website, Dalton. And, man, that is one of the hardest things to do is to trust your used car dealer. And at McConnell, you can always do that.
That's for sure. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a great day.
Y'all have a great Thursday.
That's Mitch McConnell. Check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see him in person on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 8:38, FM Talk 106.5, and it is a Thursday. That means we talk with our buddy Rob Holbert. We can talk to him other days, too, but it's kind of a set thing. We talked to our buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Hey, man.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good.
Hey. You're waiting for Thursdays. This is it. I wait for it.
That's right. Just sit around, not doing anything other than publishing Lanyap, which, by the way,
just
17,
by the phone.
17 yeah. years, man. Congratulations.
17 years. Thank you.
7 days. I mean, y'all are about to be an adult.
17 years today.
That is just. I know we got a couple things other things I want to talk about, but as there's so many people that are either small business people listen to the station, business owners listen to the station, or people who want to be their own boss. I mean, your story is one of just saying, you know, I risking everything to do something that wasn't a for sure thing at all.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we've been very lucky and very fortunate. People have liked it, and I read my column this week, Ashley, and I'll go back every now and then. Usually about this time of year, we pull one out from the very first year or two, and it's just cringeworthy. It's so bad. And
are you talking about my column? Like, is that you're saying?
Usually it's your column. Yeah, back when you were writing for us, I was like, God, what were we thinking? But just you know, we look at it, and it's like, man, God, why did anybody read this thing? It was horrible. But I mean, people have supported us for years and years, and we are very thankful of that. And it is—it's great to be here after 17 years. I'm amazed by it sometimes.
Well, yeah, it's from a lot of hard work for sure, and having an idea about what regular folks wanted and they weren't getting in the market. So, to Ashley and to you, congratulations! Well, and 17 years—that's awesome.
You. And congratulations to y'all. If nappies are out, you know, there's nappy wins all around, and FM Talk once again.
I just wonder how you're going to say, and y'all won best hairdresser or something. I heard it was best morning show, but it could.
It was best morning show. Yeah, okay. Not best hairdresser. You were in the top six on that.
Thank you, yeah. Thank you.
And best hoo-ha something or other. I don't
right,
know where we end up on that list.
You know, I don't know about that one, Dalton.
The nappy, and talk about something that's grown as well from when this started to now. This is hats off to y'all as well as setting the pace for parties in Mobile. Y'all have got it.
It's a good time, yeah, and we're getting ready for it again tomorrow night. It's always fun. It's always crazy, and it's kind of a scene. It's good people watching.
Oh, it's extreme people watching. I'm just talking about you. All right. I want to get into, first of all, something we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, and now more information out about the plans for a redevelopment of the Civic Center. Where do we stand now? What's happened?
Well, everything just got really hairy on this thing. We know there's two competing plans. There's one from the Cordish development, the Cordish companies, and then there was one from the Civic Center Redevelopment Partners, or known as Sterling, which led with Sterling Properties here locally. The Sterling folks sent a letter yesterday evening pulling out of this, out of the competition.
Did they say why?
Yeah, they did. They wrote a letter, and they basically said, that, you know, so the Cordish plan does not have a doesn't have an arena with it. There's no arena planned in that one. The Sterling one, the Civic Center Redevelopment Partners, theirs had an arena, had a 7,500 seat arena, and that was part of the RFP, the request for proposal, was for a multi-use arena, that type of thing. And they basically said, look, you know, the other guys were able to turn in something completely different and are being considered, more or less, it's just we don't think that our proposal is being considered really seriously, and it's just the whole process has been kind of screwed up, and so we're pulling out of it.
Right. So the two you had, Cordish and Sterling. Sterling is now out, and Cordish does not have an arena in their plan. So are we at zero now?
I think what we're at is probably going to be. My guess is this whole thing's going to fall apart because the Cordish plan is no arena. So Mardi Gras people are very upset by that. They also. Their plan is to bring in a bunch of themed restaurants and things like that down in that area.
Like Epcot Center?
It's one of those things, you know, it's like they're bringing in, I know there's theme, like there's a cowboy themed restaurant, things like that. And that is going over really poorly on down in the entertainment district. And so I think you're going to have two really strong opponents to this thing. And, you know, and then at the end of the day, we don't have an arena anymore. Now the thing with the arena, you know, there's been discussion that there would be, $60 million put into building an arena and the city would have to come up with that money. So the concept of where's an arena going to come from if the city doesn't build it, that's another part of it. So I think whether we can get an arena in here. Contrary to most people's belief, you know, they'll say, well, the Civic Center is only used 5 days a year or whatever. No, it's used all the time.
That's
There's
right.
stuff going on all the time. That is an ignorant point of view. People don't, and when I say ignorant, it means just people don't understand.
It means the definition of ignorance.
All the time.
Yeah, not knowing, yes.
Yes, they're unknowing about this. There is stuff going on there all the time. And one of the big hindrances that we have with the current Civic Center. I was talking to somebody last week who books these things and books shows, and said one of the big problems that we have with the Civic Center right now is the roof cannot hold the weight of these current tours. You know, everybody's hanging big screens and things from the ceiling now. You know, when it was built, everybody just stacked a bunch of amps on the stage, and that was it.
Right.
And you know, now it's totally different. These things come through, and that can't handle the weight of that. So. That's one of the reasons we can't get a lot of these shows.
And it's good that you're reporting that, and we can talk about it, because in news blurbs, that kind of information doesn't come out. People just say, well, we just didn't get that show. They must not like. And it may be something, semantically, it may be something about something is rigging. People wouldn't think about that, but rigging would keep us from getting a show.
Yeah, from what I understand, there are two main things, and that's one of them. The other thing is that this whole thing with the arena being up in the air and people worrying that it's going to be closed, and they don't want to book shows thinking that, they're going to close the arena and then we're going to have to rebook. So those are some of the issues that, you know, somebody who booked shows told me, you know, somebody who's booking around here. So, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is going on over there, and the idea that, you know, both ideas leave the Civic Center Theater over there because, as it was explained to me, too, that's the only orchestra pit, basically, I think, on the Gulf Coast. You know, there's just not a lot of – there's no way to do – people say, well, they ought to do all those things over at the Sanger. You can't put 200 people backstage in the Sanger. You know, the backstage over at the theater is much, much larger, so there's a lot of those things that just can't be handled in other facilities locally.
Rob, one of the company's proposals, they floated the idea of having living spaces. I don't know, apartment complexes or condos or something there. Is that still a complete non-starter for the Mobile City Council?
That's one of the other issues that with the Sterling group that pulled out. You know, that we have at least a couple of city council people who have just got this thing about we're not allowing any apartment complexes in that area as well. And that, you know, I don't know exactly why they have such an aversion to it, what the issue is, but that was also in their proposal were apartment complexes. And so I think that they just feel like, you know, nobody, they don't really want the arena, they don't want the apartment complexes, and a lot of our stuff is being discussed openly at this point, and it just, they feel like the other group is being pushed, you know, whether rightly or wrongly, that's how they feel.
All right, can you hang on over the break?
Sure.
All right, coming right back. More with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Talk a little bit more about what's going on at the Civic Center. But I want to talk about another issue for the city of Mobile. And this is one that we've talked about multiple times, but is back in the news, of course, with the Mobile City Council, I think, voting 6-1 to put money towards Gulf Quest. What's next? We'll ask Rob. Hey, the segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. He and his crew doing work in Mobile and Baldwin counties, commercial properties, residential properties. I mean, they come to your house, they climb up the attic ladder stair thing with the creaky springs. They'll go up there. They'll also remove stuff from the backyard. I mean, like a swing set to clean out a storage building in the backyard. Heck, they'll take the whole storage building while they're at it if you want it gone. You got junk, you need it gone, wherever. Mobile and Baldwin counties, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And the nice thing is, too, they make actual appointments. I know it's quite a change from what you're used to, where they say, well, we'll be there sometime between Monday at 6 and Friday at 5. No, they'll give you an actual time and a day, and you agree on that time, then good. That's when they're there. They'll quote you a price, and if you agree to it, they get right to work and get the work done quickly. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Give them a call and get that project finished so you can check that off your list. All right, continue our conversation with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Lanyap now celebrating its 17th with the Nappy Party on Friday night. I guess I've been around for 16 of those years, I guess, or 17. 17 of those years, I think.
You've been around all of them.
Yeah, I have been around all of them. God forbid, I'm getting old, too.
We're all getting old.
All right, so I want to... Something else that gets old is the constant discussion of the... I mean, you have to get a really big rope chain to have this many... what would be the plural of albatross? Albatrosses? This many albatrosses albatry hanging off of it. I mean, and it comes to the discussion of the Gulf Quest and City Council this week voting 6-1 to give $2 million to save $20 million, right? Or so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's the, as we talked about, the City Council went ahead and approved it. Bess Rich was the only one who didn't vote for it. You know, I guess it's an easy vote for her to make at this point, but you know, basically saying, look, we're going to go ahead because of the, you know, out of an abundance of caution, we're worried about if we don't fund this thing and it goes under and doesn't, you know, if it closes up, federal government's going to come back and ask us for $26 million in transportation funds back. So we're going to put $2 million into this. So that's $500,000 payments, and then. You know, we've got to, of course, and then also we're going to have the employees that are working there, our city employees, we're paying them. And, I mean, I get where the city's coming from, and the concept is that now the board won't have its debt, and they can go out and they can market more, and they can start really trying to get more money in and that kind of thing. And, you know, hopefully that will work for them. That's a big issue. But I do kind of think about it, and I'm like, you know, at what point, how much money do we spend to keep this $26 million? And, you know, in this deal, part of the deal was they got the banks to eat half of the money that was owed to by the board when they borrowed $5 million.
But that was operating expense, right? Remind folks, that's operating, not that's not debt service. That's operating expense.
Right, no, it was borrowed by the board to buy the exhibits, and for operating expense type thing. So, and they had really paid, I think they'd only paid back about $100,000 worth of principal. So at this point, banks basically said, geez, we're not getting anything. We'll take half rather than nothing. And so the banks forgave half the debt, and the city and the board are paying the rest of it. And then so, but you know, you think about it, it's like at some point could, you know, is it, can we go to the federal government and make a deal with them and say, look,
yeah,
this is a mess. Can we give you back, can we pay you back $15 million or whatever, you know, or $13 million and make a better dent and own the building and then have the right to do with it whatever we want, not feel tied to it. I mean, if it's not going to work.
Well, if it isn't, you're right. And there's a break point here where you're going to throw, you know, good money after bad.
Right.
And it may be, you know, if you think whatever it is, and Lord knows we have on this show come up with, you know, 200 different ideas for the place, but I keep having to tell people can't do that because of the federal deal, and people seem to forget that and come right back to it. But if the city said, okay, feds, what does it take us to get out of this? This is some forward thinking you're talking about, Rob, and says, hey, we'll pay you the money. And I know people are not going to like the city spending money, but I would rather the city spend that money to own the building, to be able to put something in there that's going to be successful, than continue to spend money to prevent the boogeyman of the $26 million payoff of happening. I mean, right now, maybe you give it a year, maybe you give it a year and a half, but at a certain point, the numbers they were talking about, you know, 300-something thousand people coming through, it's not happening, man.
No, it's not happening. I don't ever see those numbers happening, but you know, I never saw those numbers happening to begin with, and we always asked about it. And,
right.
Like, you know, guys, it seems like silly numbers. But, yeah, I mean, I think you got to give them a shot to do this. But at some point, you have to say, okay, if this isn't working, I say we have to come up with a plan. And that plan probably is going to require us to say, let's figure out how we get this thing hanging over us, the sword of Damocles of the transportation money hanging over us, and get rid of that and then own the building.
Yep. That's the most forward thinking.
You've got to do that.
That's the most forward thinking, I think, that has come up on this in a long time. Rob, remind people they want to pick up a copy of the now 17-year-old, not this issue, but Lanyap 17 years. This is a fresh issue.
This week got Mel Showers on the cover.
Awesome.
Mel, you know, he's on the cover of the Mobile side, and Lucy Buffett on the Baldwin County. But you can check us out, 1,500 different locations around Mobile and Baldwin County. You can also go online at lanyapmobile.com and check it out there. Read everything there. So lots of good stuff.
Looking forward to seeing you and Ashley and the whole crew tomorrow night, and congratulations again, y'all.
Thank you. Congratulations to y'all.
Very good. 857 FM Talk 106.5. That is our buddy Rob Holbert and Lanyap. All right, before we wrap up here, there's so many texts I want to get to, but this one, okay, let me see if I can get back to this. This is the problem because, okay, this texter says, sell the Mobile Civic Center to a private entity and business to manage. Take the $60 million from Mobile and put it towards the Mobile River Bridge. Here's the problem. They have, and this has not been, I guess, a publicized story, but I think it's something that I can say. This had happened a couple of years ago. They can't find somebody to buy it for a penny.
Mm, yeah.
Remember that
coming up.
Okay. So, because if you're going to say it has to have this, and this, in other words, the city's going to say it has to have a venue for Mardi Gras, it has to have this, and this, private businesses, I get it. They don't want to sign on to something that gives the hamstrings them going forward, because it may not work with a private business sector model. So the idea, and that, in deference to this texture, it's just the fact that we've done this for so many years, we've talked about it, there's not a line of people waiting to buy the Civic Center property. As odd as that seems, and I'm with texture, believe me, when this first came up, I thought the same thing, but like everything, it's got layers and layers of old paint on it. We'll get the buffer out and the sandpaper again at noon today on Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher next.